Marshall Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're getting to know each other. He's been in the building 6 weeks now, 6.5 weeks now, and getting to know him on a personal level. And the more time we spend together, the better I feel. We got a great coaching staff around him as well, with JT Barrett leading the charge. Declan's in the room. Press Taylor's in the room. So we've got some good seasoned voices in there. And then you bring in a guy like Case Keenum. He does a great job with his experience bridging that gap sometimes between coaching and playing, and finding any potholes that could be in there.
We broadcast live through the Scores Hyundai Studios, but Rahimi Harris and Mark Rohde today are live from Brick House Tavern in Wrigleyville.
That's all you folks.
Our crew is here. They are at Brick House. It is a fun time, and they get to join us, and we get to be with them this rainy morning. In fact, we're coming to you live from the Brick House Tavern in Wrigleyville for Cubs on Deck. Ian Happ will join us at noon for an hour. That'll be really fun. Cubs on Deck, powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today. That was, of course, Ben Johnson talking at the most recent press availability with Bears OTAs. We understand they have another one of those today. Mm-hmm. The schedule can be scattered, but we've gotten that information. We also have a piece of information that came out from Albert Breer. This is on Sports Illustrated, and it is one of the subheads. He talks about the passing of Jim Irsay to begin, which makes sense. Caleb Williams, though, is part of it. And the headline is, Caleb Williams has gotten a lot of attention for being out on the team's old regime, but every indication over the past 4 months is that he's been in on the new one. Breer goes on to say, and I'd say that with this very important caveat, it is pretty easy for a quarterback to buy in on a first-year coach with an offensive background who is hired, at least in part, to get his own career off the ground. No one's lost a game or thrown a pick or had a plan come undone. That said, from day one, Williams' buy-in on Ben Johnson has been high. The 23-year-old was there alongside DJ Moore and Robodunze for the introductory press conference, which is a small but notable thing for a guy to do coming off of his rookie year. That, in turn, gave the two their first chance to sit down and talk face-to-face. So this goes on a little bit. It talks about coaches understanding that he was sacked 68 times. It goes on to mention, you know, the details, whether it's, for example, it says there was a smattering of small things, like on the first play of one game, he turned to his left, thinking the motion was coming, what was actually coming from the right. That needed to be cleaned up. And all of this, I think, is some sort of reset in response to, again, what we've talked about a lot, which is that Seth Wickersham article previewing his book coming out. I will again reiterate, Caleb Williams' father is the one who spoke on his behalf. He also acts as his agent. Yeah, that was significant information to all of this. What were you guys' takeaways when you saw this? I just thought it was reiterating things that we already knew.
Well, I think that one of the really important things that was pointed out, and hearing the bite coming in talking about Case Keenum, that was a big hole in the game last year for Caleb Williams, not having an adult in the quarterback room, so to speak. And that's no slight on Tyson Bagent. Tyson Bagent, he's got his own thing going on. You know what I mean? Like, Tyson Bagent wants to be a starter in this league. So in his head, he's competing for a job. He's not trying to tutor Caleb Williams. And I don't know that we would want him doing that. So the fact that they have Case Keenum in that room now, they're telling you how important that was. And another mistake made by the Bears last year to not have that guy in the room with him. I did think it was interesting, too, that in that article that there are two areas of improvement that they're talking about Caleb Williams needing, and that is the body language, where he's slow to pull himself up off the field. And I get it, he got knocked down a lot, but like, you got to show up a little bit in that regard. And then the pre-snap procedure. And I think that's we're getting to an area there now where I think Bears fans should appreciate it, because that is about on the field. That is about taking charge, getting the play out quickly, recognizing the protections, knowing the routes of your receivers. So that's some real stuff that we all are at this point assuming that Ben Johnson is going to take care of, to make better at this point.
I think, Grody, Layla, when you look at what Caleb Williams' expectations are from the coaches, the fan base, the NFL at large, they expect him to be a superstar. He was drafted number one overall. And he obviously did not have a rookie season necessarily becoming of a superstar for a variety of reasons. Whether you want to talk about the coaching staff, whether you want to talk about, I don't know, being a rookie quarterback in the NFL, you could talk about the offensive line. What this Albert Breer report did was it kind of put things straight in terms of, hey, here are the things that are better for Caleb Williams now than they were last year. Case Keenum exists. He's there. And read a direct quote from this. Williams has taken advantage of it in using Keenum almost as another coach after hours.
How about that?
What to work around the CBA mandated limits on what the coaches can actually do with the players at this point in the calendar. But more importantly than that is that you're seeing direct results of a coach cleaning things up. It's a reset for Caleb Williams, whether people want to admit it or not. He's got a brand new coaching staff that he's dealing with right now. And the first thing a brand new coaching staff is going to do is get rid of whatever bad habits they can easily see on tape. So they're going over that right now. And I think this story, although you can question the timing of it, what it came behind, it's just good news. And you should be in good news mode if you're the Bears or if you're a Bears fan. It should be good news right now.
Two people I never thought I would talk so much about in the Bears offseason are Kyle Monongai and Case Keenum.
Well, Case Keenum.
What do you got against Monongai?
But my point is, yes, it's great that these people are here. Yeah, but at the same time, one is a seventh round pick in the draft who is a running back because you needed a running back, and that's who your draft board dictated you get. And the other one is, yeah, I am aware of Case Keenum's repertoire, probably more so than most people in this room, as I had been following him since his high school career back in Abilene. But the point is, that's not the only voice that needs to happen here as far as what he needs to do. When Caleb Williams needs to watch tape, yes, the coaches only have limited time with him. I would assume there's some dialogue about homework there. Pre-snap reads is what we're talking about when it came to the motion example that Albert Breer illustrates. And yeah, I do think that Case Keenum will help, just like I think other veterans in the room, like Joe Tooney, for example, Grady Jarrett, will help when it comes to understanding overall morale, not letting one game beat you 10 times in a row, and things like that. But the body language piece of it to me is not something that I was worried about with Caleb Williams.
Me either.
And when that was pointed out, I'm asking, why is that something that was important to this group? You know, right. That's a part of this where I'm going, yeah, we'd all have been in that situation and felt the same way. Like, I didn't mind when he was lying on the bench. I totally understand that was happening.
The man was beat up, and I get it. If you're Ben Johnson, you're like, well, quarterback shouldn't act like that. Well, you know what? You kept your quarterback clean. He didn't get sacked. He got sacked basically less than half the amount of times that Caleb Williams got sacked last year. There's a reason Jared Goff is able to carry himself with a bit more composure, not just because he's a veteran quarterback, but because he's not getting blown up every other play. Now, some of that is on Caleb Williams not getting rid of the ball quick enough, but a lot of that is on scheme and protection. And I was curious as to why that was such a big deal, but maybe he's sending a message, whoever this is, giving this information to Albert Breer by having this go. And to your point about the homework component of this for Caleb Williams, nothing helps with homework from somebody who's had a rough go of it, let's say, in their last report card, than getting a tutor. Case Keenum's the tutor, and he's doing tutor's work right now.
I would hope it's also, but even Matt, Ben Johnson has talked before about who he has had work with him on his staff. He mentioned Harrison Freed a few times, that they had a relationship from the Miami Dolphins, and that was somebody who was helping Caleb Williams with download as far as information the offense was concerned. This is also something that happened last year, by the way. That was a big point of emphasis, was they talked about the Bears staff at the time, talking about working with him on that stuff before and after the limited time that coaches get with their players. So I feel like all of that is in line.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't want us too much to depend on people who that's not their job, you know?
Imagine being Caleb Williams last year, because I think Caleb Williams was like us when they named Shane Waldron as the offensive coordinator. We're all like, okay, who is this guy? Oh, he's the Geno Smith guy. And you do a little bit more research, and he's like, he's just perfectly mediocre. And now everybody is now confirming what we kind of already knew. I mean, it's already been said. Of course he loves Ben Johnson the same way everybody else does, based on his reputation and the body of work that you have seen from Detroit. So that is zero revelation to me that, of course, he is bought in on this guy, especially relative to what happened last year with Shane Waldron and two coaches getting fired. But here's the thing about Ben Johnson. He's got a very inexperienced offensive coaching staff, starting with Declan Doyle. And believe it or not, I think that's good, because I think for once, like every year we go through this, I mean, I started covering the Bears, you know, in the Mitch Trubisky time. I was there for just about as, and there were all these, Mark Helfrich and Dave Ragone, all these voices around all of these guys. Like, who is Ben Johnson? I think for the first time as a head coach, play caller, that will be the guy who is 75% in his head teaching him. Now, the other guys are going to play their parts, but maybe not to the same extent that coaches did in the past with the support for his predecessors, Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields. And I think that that is good, that it's going to be Ben Johnson and him only a lot of times.
I think there's an element of teaching the teachers. For a first-time head coach, you've got to teach your coaching staff how to be an extension of you. And that is especially the case when you hear Ben Johnson mention his offensive coaches. One of the first questions we all asked was, what exactly is Declan Doyle at 28 years old being asked to do? So that's a big part of it. And to his credit, Ben Johnson told you what he wanted his quarterback to do, is see the game through his eyes. I would assume some of that carries over to your coaching staff.
I think one of the advantages of having such a young coaching staff on the offensive side is being able to mold them to see things the way that you see them, just like he's trying to do with Caleb Williams. And there's no bad habits there that have to be unlearned, because they're guys that he has already vetted and said, I can make sure this guy sees it the way I see it. Everybody on down in the coaching staff, all the way to the backup quarterback.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, Ben Johnson isn't the one throwing the passes. Ben Johnson isn't the one necessarily making a pre-snap read. You know, the motion issues were there. Like, how many times have we talked about the first drive of games?
Mm-hmm.
A million times.
Yeah.
And that's something that we'll again focus on, and I can't wait until the next drive that's executed and they drive down the field for a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, at some point in time, like I've said it a million times, Layla, at some point in time, with all the excuses gone on those first few plays of the game, there's one common denominator that was out there, and that was number 18, Caleb Williams. So there are really, whether you want to see it or not, there are obvious areas, and this is good, that where you can improve Caleb Williams, and he can improve. It's not like you think about some of the real issues last year with, and Caleb had, you know, like for a rookie, an average season. But he did, he had some accuracy issues, but he didn't have those accuracy issues for the most part in college. So that is something that one can expect to get better on his watch, because Caleb Williams did not really, that was not really part of his story coming up and landing with the Bears.
Well, interesting notes from Albert Breer, but I think for the most part, you're right, Gertz, and there wasn't a lot that we did not know.
Mm-hmm.
But the body language one is one that kind of surprised me, because maybe it's we saw too many Justin Fields games year in and year out where that poor guy was also dealing with a lot of the same issues. So it just didn't stick out to me as much last season.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I guess it didn't really with me either. I didn't necessarily notice that. But if that's something that's being said, then obviously the players are talking about that. The coaches are talking about that. You know, you don't want to show your guys up. I mean, lay down on the, you know, on the ground, get up, let's go get in there, get the next play out, and let's recover from what just happened instead of hanging out.
That is correct. Coming up, it is halftime. We have more from Brickhouse Tavern. Our crew is starting to get some food in here. I always think Brickhouse does a fantastic job with the food, so strongly recommend for everybody who's waiting in line to get to the buffet. In the meantime, we've got more to come here on the show. Rahimi Harris, Mark Grody, live to you from Wrigley. That's next on The Score.